And I believe I have with me on the phone Robert Guthrie.
Good morning, Ilan.
Oh, long time, no seeing and no talking.
That's right. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good on this beautiful spring, sunny day.
Yes, it's beautiful. Compared to yesterday, the day before, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
So, but it's always good to be back. It's good to be back on the air and continuing the Torah portion.
Yeah.
Which is really, really interesting because this week we learn it's two Torah portions, Itachar Mot and Kedoshim, and we discuss following the death of Nadav and Avihu, the sons of Aaron. God warns everyone, the Jews and so on, against unauthorized entry into the Holy of Holies. And only one person, in other words, the Kohen Gadol, may enter once a year on Yom Kippur. We also learn, it talks about the idea of the Karbanot, the sacrifices.
Yeah.
And then in Parashat Kedoshim, which is the second one we learn, it starts off by saying, "You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." And then obviously it talks about many, many mitzvot, commandments that are instructed in that. And some of them which are included in the Torah portion is the prohibition against idolatry, the mitzvah of charity, the principle of equality before the law, Shabbat, honesty, sexual morality, honor your parents, so on and so forth. And it's interesting because one of the verses that it says in the Torah portion, it says, "Do not make yourself gods out of cast metal." The Torah instructs us we're not allowed to do that. Now, it's a very, very obscure, non-applicable or non-rational thing to say, because how can an intelligent person believe that a piece of metal is God? You know, we could perhaps appreciate how ancient pagan societies, you know, attributed divine qualities to powerful transcendent forces of nature, the sun, the moon, the various galaxies, you know, wind, fire, so on and so forth. That could make a little bit of sense. Why would a thoughtful human being believe God could be fashioned out of a cast metal? And even if we explain how in the ancient pagan world such an idea could be entertained seriously, how does this commandment in the Torah, a timeless blueprint of human life, applied to our lives today? It has no relevance for us today. So I remember I once encountered a beautiful interpretation to these words. What this biblical verse of "do not make yourself gods out of cast metal" is telling us is not to construct a god of a lifestyle that has become like cast metal, one that is cast and solidified in a fixed mold. Because a natural human tendency is to worship that which we have become comfortable with. You know, try and change someone that is 80, 85 years old from doing something that they've done for 65 years. It's very, very hard to change them. Why? Because change is scary. They're comfortable with it and it becomes sort of normal. We worship our habits, our patterns, our attitudes, our routines, something that we're routined every time, simply because we have accustomed ourselves to them and they are part of our lives. You know, we worship the icons, the culture, and the emotions we have been raised with and which we have become the norm in our lives, in our community, in our schools, in our homes. So people love that which does not surprise them. We want to enjoy a God that suits our philosophical and emotional comfort zone. So we tend to embrace the fixed and the molten God. Now, this is true both of religious, secular people, both of believers, atheists, agnostics. The idea of "don't rock my boat." I already have an established God. Do not threaten it. I have my patterns of thought and system of life, which I'm used to. Don't challenge me, because if you do, I will have no choice but to dismiss you as a stupid person. Comes the Torah and declares, do not turn your pre-established mold into your God. Do not turn your habits, your natural patterns, your fears, into something that is a God. Allow yourself to search for the truth. Authentic, raw. Sometimes even if it's painful. Because life is about challenge. Allow our souls to be enchanted by mystery. Never say, this is the way I am, this is the way I do things, I cannot change. Never think, this is the worldview I'm comfortable with, and the other ways that not everyone agrees with must be wrong. Rather, get the courage, excuse me, challenge every instinct, temptation, convention. Ask questions to be able to embrace a different change. Embrace something that is not necessarily something that I am used to. We should not allow our lives to become enslaved to a particular pattern just because this is the way that I have been doing this for years and decades. God, the real God, is not defined by any conventions. It's not defined by anything else. Experience the freedom of our Creator. You know, it's very interesting because Torah, Judaism, never articulated who God is and what God looks like. What it did teach us is what God does not look like. God should never be defined by an image we attribute to him.
לא יהיה לך פסל ולא מסכה.
Exactly. In Jewish philosophy, never mind in Kabbalah, for example, we never speak of what God is. We only speak of what he is not. God is not an extension of my being or my imagination. That I can start thinking, oh, what is God? God must be some sort of this or some sort of that. You know, the common Yiddish term for God, used by some of the greatest Jewish mystics, thinkers, is the word for God is Oibishter. Yiddish term, which means higher. It does not mean creator, not master, not all-powerful, etc., but higher. What this term represents is the idea, I do not know what he is. All I know is that whatever my definition of truth and reality, whatever my definition of God is, he is higher than that. All I know is that I do not know. So in order to be open to the God of the Torah means to be open to never-ending mystery. Possibility is the profound readiness at every moment of life to open ourselves up to something that could be greater. That means that our ambitions and desires, after we faced all our fears and challenges, that is where we will meet God's will, is if we're willing to go beyond that, of that we have to have complete humility and sincerity. We become truly one with ourselves, one with the, and then with that will enable us to become one with the core of reality. As it says in the Zohar, no thought, no idea, nothing can grasp God. Yet, he can be grasped with pure desire of the heart, which means that if I'm willing to go beyond the structure of my life, and that's why it says, do not make yourself God out of cast metal. Metal is very hard to bend. Metal cannot change. If I want to be able to have this reality of a life that I can have a connection to God, I have to be able to be willing to go out of my psyche, go out of my understanding and thought of who I may presume or envision or imagine who God is. If I go beyond that, then I'll truly find God and I'll be able to connect to something that is oibishter, something that is higher, something that I cannot understand, but I will do everything that I can to do a, to make myself have this connection with God. And I think it's a very, very important lesson that we, anyone, doesn't matter who you are. You can be an atheist, agnostic, a secular, a religious. It doesn't make a difference what type of Jew a individual person is. We still have the same God. And therefore, for me to be able to connect it is something that I have to be able to go out of my comfort zone and go out of my being and challenge myself to do something better.
That's interesting.
Absolutely. You know, we also have, it's very interesting that in the next 2 weeks, in the next third Shabbos, we have a spectacular speaker coming to town where we're going to have a lone soldier, an IDF combat veteran.
Yeah, I know we once interviewed them here on the show.
Who? This Leiber Mengel or other people?
I think other people.
Yeah, there could be. And the stories are spectacular.
Yeah.
Very, very interesting. So the one that we're bringing out is Leiber Mengel. He left home at 19. He served as a machine gunner in the Kfir Brigade,
mm-hmm.
where he took part in very, very in Protective Edge and this and that, many, many high profile things. So he's actually coming to speak, and his topic is from Auschwitz to IDF, because his grandfather was one of the lone children survivors from Auschwitz. So it's a spectacular, it's going to be really, really interesting, mind-opening, how he fights anti-Semitism and so on and so forth, and especially around this time now, Yom Yerushalayim, Yom Ha'atzmaut, the Shoah, so on and so forth, it's very fitting to come together as a community and bring him out. So it's going to be May 11th. We're going to have a Friday night dinner, Shabbaton. We're going to have a full Israeli-themed Shabbat dinner. He's going to speak. So if anyone wants to RSVP, you're more than welcome to go to our website, WindsorChabad.com. And there's a event there. You can do it, or you can email me, whichever it is. It's also being co-sponsored by the Windsor Jewish Endowment Fund. So I hope everyone can make it. It's going to be a spectacular, a very interesting Friday night evening.
That's interesting, and we will mention it in the coming shows.
Absolutely.
So people know.
An evening of Jewish pride, strength, and perseverance is what we're going to call it.
That's it. And Rabbi, what about services?
So we have services weekend. Friday evening is at 7 o'clock, Shabbat morning at 9:30, and Sunday morning is 9 o'clock. We moved it up a little bit, so if anyone's coming to drop their kids off at the Hebrew school, stop by for service and breakfast right after that. So it's a win-win, and then we have Monday and Thursday, 7:15 at the Paris House. Great way to start the week, the day actually. So it's...
Yeah. Sounds good.
Yes.
I wish you Shabbat Shalom.
You too, Ilan. And
good meeting. We'll talk next week.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.